The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome into another edition of the Roto World Basketball Show. I am Vaughn Delzell, and as always, alongside me is Dan Titus of Yahoo Sports and Raphael Johnson of NBC Sports. A lot to cover, everyone, with injuries, waiver wire pickups, and drama in the NBA. And I say we start with a sweet and satisfying 22-point comeback win for Cleveland over Boston, Raphael. And we can't forget, Jason and Travis Kelce were in the building, so maybe they added to the voodoo there. But what an ending we had in Cleveland.
Yeah, that was one of the wilder fourth quarters I've seen. You know, not just coming back from 22 points down, but who was the author of that comeback? I don't think anyone had Dean Wade outscoring the Celtics by himself. but he did it. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell being out, Max Strus being out, and Evan Mobley getting hurt in the third quarter. Maybe Dean Wade is worth streaming for the rest of the week. Like, I don't know.
I mean, the man with two first names, you can't go wrong there, right? Dean Wade was lighting it up. But then, what were your thoughts on the game? And are you buying into this, too, for a waiver wire pickup?
I mean, I think at this point, man, this is what, 2 weeks in a row? This is the top thing that we're talking about, the Cleveland Cavaliers pulling out these heroic finishes. But, I mean, I think Dean Wade is someone you could start right now because Max Strus is going to be out on Wednesday. Evan Mobley is probably going to be missing a couple of games. There's room for growth here, and I think you know, with the way that the Cleveland Cavaliers have been playing and the way he's shooting from three, man, like, I think he's definitely an add. Him and Isaac Okoro, but we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah, Isaac Okoro, definitely someone that I expected his name to pop up here because the Cavs dealing with multiple injuries. Max Strus, Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, all these type of guys. And I did not expect at all for that comeback to happen. And one of my friends, a quick story, you know, he had a wasteful bet. So he picked Tatum 30 points, Porzingis 25, Doncic 40 piece, and the Penguins of the Hockey League to win because we were at the game. And when we looked at the phone and saw the Cavs one by one, he was about to be in tears because it was 25 to win 15,000. And I could not believe how close he was. But, yeah, the Celtics blew that one. Still the best team in the NBA. I'm looking forward to see what they do. But they have a big game coming up against the Denver Nuggets, guys. And the Nuggets also just lost against the Suns without Devin Booker. That was a huge game, fun game to watch, went to OT. So, Dan, what's your opinions on the Phoenix Suns now? Are you looking at anybody pick up with Devin Booker on the sideline?
Yeah, I think Grayson Allen certainly gets a boost. But more importantly, I think Royce O'Neal, I think he's more widely available that you can pick up right now, that he'll do a multitude of things across categories. Won't score much, but I think that he's definitely someone that you'll want to target because Booker's going to be missing 7 to 10 days. That was 2 days ago. So he still has, you know, a significant amount of games left there. So make sure you pick one or two of those guys up if they're available. But just want to say real quick, I feel like that was more of an indictment of the Suns letting everything go. And, like, I still don't know what their identity is. Like, they have to play hero ball for them to be successful. So between them and the Clippers, like, I don't know that I believe that much in them when it comes to the postseason just because they're going to have to – you can't rely on – Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant to go off for you guys to be successful. So, I don't know. We'll see what it do. But I think the Nuggets, they let that one go. They're the better team by far. Not worried about them long term.
Yeah, Denver was on a 6-game winning streak up until that loss out the All-Star break. And I've talked a lot about the Suns and Clippers on other shows. And I've said I'd like the Suns a little bit long term if you're trying to pick someone to knock off the Nuggets. But Then I also proceeded, Rafael, to say it's because of Royce O'Neal adding to the bench and assigning Thaddeus Young. And I'm like, this is 2024 and I'm saying these things. It's definitely going to bite me in the rear end and Denver's going to beat them. So what is your looks on the Phoenix Suns?
It was a much needed win for them. We saw them once again have fourth quarter issues. I think that's where the hero ball comes into play, where you basically have three people standing around watching a two-man action. And more often than not, that two-man action just leads to an ISO for either Durant, Beal, or Devin Booker when he's healthy. So I think from a fantasy standpoint, the only options are what Dan mentioned. Like Grayson Allen should not be available in standard leagues at this point, so he's more of a shallow league ad. Anywhere else, you're looking at Royce O'Neal. I think it's about it. You know, Bol Bol has had his moments, but I don't think anyone in their right mind would trust Bol Bol for consistent fantasy production.
Yeah, give me time. Give me time. I might get there. but I'll be the first of not many. I'm going to stick with you, Rafael, though, for our next talk because it's your New York Knicks. Yeah. Jalen Brunson dealing with a knee issue now. Is there any concerns for fatigue? Josh Hart, happy birthday to you, young fella. And Dante DiVincenzo, also another guy that's had a huge usage uptick. What's your thoughts on their situation?
I think there is some concern just because of how much they're being asked to play and also what they're being asked to do. Like, DiVincenzo and Hart should not be primary scoring options. They wouldn't be if they're healthy, but given how banged up that team is, they kind of have to be that. We saw they got off to a brutal start in the first quarter against the Hawks on Tuesday. They came back but couldn't, you know, they just ran out of gas and Atlanta pulled away. Then you got Orlando, who's a direct competitor for seeding in the East coming up on Thursday. Orlando's kind of had their number this season too. So that's a concern. Brunson, he kind of dodged a bullet there because at first we didn't see the initial banging of knees. So it looked like a non-contact situation. Thankfully, it's only a contusion. Deuce McBride, I think he's going to be someone to stream pretty much wherever possible until Brunson is back. Didn't shoot it well last night, but you got 9 assists and I think either 1 or 0 turnovers. So I think from a point guard, that's a good starting point for him. Other than that, I think Precious Achiuwa should already be rostered in standard league, so I don't really think there's anyone else to add per se in fantasy.
Yeah, how about you, Dan? I know we talked about Precious Achiuwa the last 2 weeks. Do you have anybody else that you're looking at?
Yeah, I would just say that just look out for shallow leagues. If Precious Achiuwa is out there, his rostership is down. It's like creeping towards 50%. So I don't suspect that, you know, he'll be out there in too many leagues, but just look just to make sure. But I largely agree with Raf. I think it's more so, you know, the Knicks are just a byproduct of all their injuries. So Dante DiVincenzo is going to have to go off. Josh Hart, I mean, he was one of the top fantasy players last week with those triple doubles, man, like first person to put up a 13, 19 rebound and 10 assist game in NBA history. So like, if you have him on your team, I think you got to be feeling really great about, you know, the prospects of those two guys. But I'm wondering, I guess, Raf, what's your thought on Brunson? Is he going to miss a couple of games, a few games? Like, I feel like with all the injuries, man, they have to take the conservative approach here. Like, I get it. You're in the thick of a playoff battle here, but I mean, you can't have, I mean, we see that offense and the way that it looks without Brunson. And it's just, it's got awful to watch. I don't want to watch Bogey take 22 shot attempts, right? It's bad when that happens.
Go ahead, Vaughn.
I was going to say, I'm not sure how long Brunson's going to be out, but I think that they should definitely baby it. I mean, I'm with you, Dan, that this team is more built now if they're healthy for a playoff series than they've been in recent years. And without Jalen Brunson, I mean, they're not going to withstand a first-round series more than likely. So that's just – I would keep your star player healthy. If he has to stay out a game or two extra, I would do that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. After Orlando on Thursday, they've got two games against Philly, another direct competitor. But Philly's been without – they're without Tyrese Maxey. So that may be a reason to kind of keep Brunson on the sideline a bit longer if you can. Obviously, we don't know when Maxey will be back, but – yeah, like you guys said, the last thing they can afford is to lose Brunson long term, whether we're talking this season or even further down the line. Because I think at this point in the year, long term injury, you're probably looking at the start of next season, you know, in terms of running what that could potentially run up against. So, yeah, you take your time with it. They just signed Shake Milton. That's not going to be a fantasy impact move, obviously, but another body to use at the point potentially. So, yeah, but you can't play Josh Hart like 44, 47 minutes per night. Like, I know he won't ask out, but you can't do that. You can't It's like driving a car until the tires are bald. Like, you're just asking for trouble.
I mean, do you think that that's kind of how we got here to a certain degree? Like, is this the Tibbs effect? Like, this is just going to happen. You're going to have these Llewell Dang situations where it's like, bro, I'm playing 40 minutes a night. Like, my knee's going to give out at some point or something's going to go wrong.
Yeah. I think it's possible. You know, like the Julius Randle injury, that was a fluke thing.
That was a fluke.
If someone tries to take a charge and they get, you know, they get under you or whatnot. But Anunoby elbow issue, for all we know, that could have been an issue in Toronto as well. Just didn't really come to head until he got to New York. So I think if anything, you're looking at those first games, those two missed, and they had guys like Charlie Brown and Jacob Toppin available, and he didn't play them at all. That's where he's like, all right, you might want to play these guys a little bit, if only to get your remaining guys some extra rest along the way. So,
yeah. More of the story, though, hold Deuce McBride to the end of the week because he's playing 46 and a half minutes over his last two games.
I have Deuce and Josh Hart in the 30 deep league that I'm playing in, and it's a playoff week. So,
that's going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I got those two and Duop Reith, so we'll see how that takes. Oh,
that's a championship waiting to happen. <Okay. laughs> I love the you know, no Embiid, no Maxey, no problem, Dan. Is that worse hearing in Philly?
I mean, I guess. I mean, you can add no Lowry to that mix too, man. Yeah, I guess if you're in a deep league, you could consider picking up Campaign for a game. Kelly Oubre was a guy that I think was dropped in some leagues. I think he was hovering around 50% at the beginning of the week after his last 30-point outing. I think that probably changed. But Philly has a good week the rest of the week, so I would be looking at adding, if Kelly Oubre's out there in shallow leagues, get him. Lowry's is just a rest game. He's not going to play on the back-to-back set, but I think Lowry actually has value for the rest of the week as well. Just because Tyrese Maxey's dealing with that concussion injury, as Raph stated.
Yeah, Raphael, you said wow when Dan said no Kyle Lowry time. Is that because you picked up Kyle Lowry for your 30 deep squad?
No, he's already been rostered in that league. But, he's going to have a rest night, so he will not be back until it looks like he won't be available tonight against Memphis. That's a good game to rest him for. He's looking at Friday against the Pelicans. You know, so yeah, I think Kyle Lowry, once he's back in the lineup, he's definitely worth rostering. I know he didn't look very good in Miami in terms of a fantasy standpoint. It's kind of weird. Like, he kind of hovered just outside the top 100. But if you actually watch, you're like, there's no way. Like, I don't know. It feels like a college basketball team gaming the net or the RPI. That's what it felt like with him from a fantasy standpoint. So it's a bit different now in Philly. They don't really have too many options, but yeah, for Wednesday, if Campaign's on a waiver wire, you might as well throw him in your lineup and see what happens.
Campaign, man, making his way around the league. And as far as net rating for Kyle Lowry, he went to Villanova. He wishes he had Villanova's net rating this season. Dan, what are you more excited about, 76ers playoff basketball or Philly's debut baseball?
Man, at this rate, with all the injuries, man, give me the Phillies.
Dinger Tuesday is going to be smacking in Philadelphia, baby. But if everyone hasn't heard, spring training is here. So for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, go ahead and grab your Roto World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit NBCSports.com/draft guide and use Baseball24. To get 10% off at checkout. Baseball season comes up fast and it sticks around for a long, long time. So make sure you guys go ahead and get that guide and help you out because, longest season by far if you play fantasy. It's tough.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Let's talk about some season-ending injuries, guys, because Scotty Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, both of these guys are banged up for Toronto, out now. How will we grade their seasons, Raphael? I'll start with you. And is there anyone now that you're like, I'm rushing to the window to go pick up in fantasy?
I don't know if I'd necessarily say rushing, but we discussed Grady Dick last week, the rookie. He's someone who's going to have value during the upcoming streaming silly season. They're five games out of that last play-in spot in the East, and I don't really see much urgency on their part to get into the mix for that. So I think you're looking at Grady. I wouldn't say like a Jonte Porter, maybe an Ochai Agbaji, even though he's dealing with a sore knee that sidelined him last night. I think he and Grady, the two Kansas products, are the guys you're looking at from a fantasy standpoint right now.
How about you, Dan? Are you riding with them? We know you were on Grady Dick pretty big last week. You were excited about his fantasy production.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, I think Kelly Olynyk is probably overly rostered at this point. Like, he's at 58%. So you probably missed the boat on that, because I don't expect Jakob Poeltl to return this year, man. With all the hand injuries that have been happening, it's been at least a four-week timeline. So, like, it's pretty much a wrap. In terms of Grady Dick, yeah, I think that if Ochai Agbaji isn't good, I think that's just going to increase, you know, Grady Dick's minutes. So he could be looking at – he's usually hovering around that 22 to 25 range. So maybe he can get up to that 27, 30 now that Agbaji is dealing with injury. So, yeah, I would be looking at Grady Dick in as a streamer. And he's only – I mean, he's under 20% roster, so he's widely available.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, I think, someone that's worth grabbing then right now, because his usage has been climbing. Raphael, I'll go back to you on the two injuries. Scotty Barnes was a guy we talked about a lot the first month of the season, expected a lot out of him, especially with Siakam on the trade. Did he live up to expectations for you? And on the other end, Jakob Poeltl, did he exceed expectations for you, because he wasn't expected to do too much?
I think Barnes definitely exceeded expectations. You know, you're looking at a Yahoo ADP of 47. He finishes top 25. I think that was the hope. He was hovering around that top 10 area for part of the season. So for him to come out top 25, I think you're definitely pleased if you draft him in redrafts from what you got to this point. Obviously, the season-ending injury, suboptimal, but I think you're in a good spot with him. As for Poeltl, I think he was someone I expected like top 75, top 80 value, and that's pretty much what you got from him. He's a little bit behind that eighth round in nine-cap format. So I would probably give him a B, a solid B. I think Barnes would get an A in terms of grades for me.
Where would you draft Scotty Barnes next season? How high would you go?
I'd say end of second, early third, in that area. I'm not expecting too much of a boost from him, especially if they re-sign Emmanuel quickly. I think that would be the intention on their part, because you don't acquire a point guard like him and just let him leave in free agency. So I think in two, start of three, in terms of, you know, that kind of, if you're in a snake draft, that area there, use one of those picks on Scotty Barnes for me personally.
Yeah, great advice, and I 100% agree with that. Dan, are you in agreement? Where would you draft Scotty Barnes next year?
I think I would take him probably mid-second. Okay. I think I would probably replace him with where Mikal Bridges was going this year. Yeah. So probably mid-second to early third for sure. I mean, he just missed averaging the most – points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks for his team. Like, he was like the only person that was close to doing that. I think Jokic is probably up there too. But I think Scotty's earned it, man. Like, and if this team, I don't think he's still going to be the star of the squad. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think what we saw from him, if he can increase that 3-point percentage, like just increase his shooting, I think he's going to be a star in fantasy. So yeah, I'm cool with it. Second and third round.
All right. And then I'm going to stick with you here because you talked about the Clippers earlier in the show. Russell Westbrook, man, he's out for the season now, or for the fantasy season, I should say. I hope to get him back for the playoffs. What does that do for the rest of the team in terms of fantasy production? Are you looking at Norman Powell now, who's getting steam in the six-man of the year market?
Yeah, it's got to be Norman Powell. I think at this point, like, he's definitely more of a points guy for me, but I think he still has value in category leagues. He's been more efficient this year, shooting 49% from the field. His usage is going to go up, and he doesn't need 30 minutes to be productive in fantasy. So, like, even though Westbrook is gone, like, I'm expecting him to pretty much be the man of the second unit, even if he doesn't start, because they've been starting Terrence Mann there, which I don't – Terrence Mann has, like – he's one of those fringe guys that, like, if he's playing well, sure, you can take a flyer on him, but, like, I'm not rushing to add him. I think the real beneficiary here is Norman Powell.
Yeah, he's just – he's been destroying from three this season. Rafael, are you in agreement? Is he the clear look here? Is anyone else on your radar?
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else. Like, if you're looking for someone to fit in that point guard position in your lineup, you're just going to have to look to another team because I don't think there's an option there. Bones Highland, we've seen play the backup point guard minutes, but he's only getting about 13, 15 minutes per game. And there are still some of those defensive lapses that are why he wasn't playing when Russell was healthy. So I don't think you can trust him. I just think Terrence Mann is someone whose value to their rotation is far higher than his fantasy value. Like, he's a good fit in that starting lineup. Obviously, that's not going to change. But, yeah, if it's not Norman Powell, you pretty much look to another team to find someone to kind of fill that void left by Westbrook.
Yeah, I feel like most of the Clippers guys that are fantasy relevant are already been rostered for the majority. Yeah. And we're going to do a little rope-a-dope here because last week we were off this guy, but this week we might be back on this guy. There's been a lot going on in the Miami Heat locker room. Tyler Hero's still out. Now Josh Richardson is out for the season. Are we going back to Duncan Robinson, Rafael, after last week we weren't on him?
Yes, we are going back to Duncan Robinson. the points and three-pointers, and he's expanded his game a bit to give you a bit more variety in terms of his production. So, and he's starting. So I think he's definitely someone that you're going to want to add if he's available in standard leagues. I think he's under 40% rostered or kind of hovering around there right now. So he's definitely the choice. Jaime Jaquez is a bit further down the line. Yeah, Duncan's at 42 and Jaime's at 34. So I think those are the two guys you're looking at. Nikola Jovic, he's starting, but he only played 19 minutes last night. And it feels like he's at a cap of about like 22 to 25 minutes unless he's playing well. So I think you're looking at Robinson and Jaquez.
I love that. Robinson, I'm surprised that he's 8% higher than Jaquez. 42% in general seems like a pretty high number on Duncan Robinson. People must be getting on the action, Dan. Are you in the same boat with those players listed 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, I think the crazy thing is, like, I feel like I think people are starting to talk about the ascension of Duncan Robinson this year, but, like, the way he just looks like a complete player, man. Like, that move that he had on the baseline yesterday with that, like – I didn't know he had that kind of sauce in him, but then he's also throwing alley-oops. Like, he just looks like a completely different guy, and he needs to be rostered. Like, he's a real-life good basketball player and even better fantasy. He's been top 80 over the last month. So, yeah, lock him in. The fact that he's under 50%, that's a gift for those in shallow leagues. So make sure you take up – just definitely pick him up. Jaime Jaquez, I think, also might come around too. Tyler Hero is going to be missing the next two games at least. Anytime they put "at least" in front of anything, I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Jaime Jaquez is definitely someone that might have some staying power, especially because Jason Richardson is going to be having season end, or Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
That's a wrong throwback, wrong Richardson. But because he's going to be out, like, I think Jaime Jaquez is definitely going to be an important piece of this rotation too.
Yeah, I am very interested to see how the rest of the season goes for Miami, but I am also rooting for the Orlando Magic to win that division. So I'll be watching close, paying close attention to what Miami Heat does. Today is also the birthday of one named Marcus Smart, if you guys didn't know. And the Memphis Grizzlies are dealing with a lot of injury problems themselves. But Zaire Williams now, he was a silly season standout for Rafael. All that potential is gone. He's gone for the next month or so. So who are we looking at? Because we've talked a lot about G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. in the past. Is there anybody else out there?
There are other people out there. I just don't know if you can trust any of them.
Who are you trusting? You can't trust.
Yeah, that's the question. Like, I know Luke Kennard has been starting when he's been available, but his availability has been touch and go recently. So I don't know. Santi Aldama is still at 24% rostered. I think even though he's been a constant in that lineup, the fact that he's still so low in terms of fantasy value is a serious concern for me. Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously he's a starter. He's the standout of that team in terms of guys who are somewhat available, but even when he sits, Aldama hasn't given him much. So I think Lamar Stevens in an extremely deep league, but I don't even feel great about that. So I think it's one of those things where you just kind of watch out of like morbid entertainment, and then that's about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to watch at all, but you guys are keeping me up to date on that. Dan, what you got in Memphis?
I mean, Raph's right, man. Like, I just don't know where you can find any sense of consistency with this rotation. I mean, John Concher, when he gets minutes, like, he does things, but I just don't know when he's going to play. He's played the last two games, played 31 minutes on Tuesday, or Monday. So I feel like you could put a flyer out on him, but I don't know that he's going to be benched. Jordan Goodwin, another player that was picked up on a two-way deal, has a games cap, so he's going to be sitting out periodically. You don't know when he's going to play. He's effective when he does. Like, this dude's been a blocking machine at the guard position, but I just don't know when he's going to play. So rather than trying to spin your wheels, trying to figure out, you know, when these guys are going to play, I'd probably just move on to a different team. It's probably a lot easier for you to figure out, especially in a time where you need production from players. Don't rely on people from Memphis.
Yeah, I think if you didn't know by now, you should have
done. We're not talking about the city, just to be clear. We're just talking about the current basketball.
Well, let Dan clarify that.
Oh, I love Memphis, man. Yeah, great barbecue, great music. Yes. It's a vibe. Love Memphis.
Just want to make that clear.
No, I've never been to Memphis, but I envision it being a pretty cool place to visit. So I might have to take you up on that sometime. But yeah, seeing a Grizzlies game when Ja Morant's back, get that on my radar. You guys know how I feel about Ja. But let's talk about a team I really do like. I'm a fan of the Chicago Bulls. They're supposed to beat the Utah Jazz tonight. When I saw that, I was like, wait, what am I missing here? Well, it's not what I'm missing. It's what Utah's missing. Lauri Markkanen, Walker Kessler, Taylor Hendricks. Is there anyone on Utah's roster worth rostering, or are we just looking at Andre Drummond, Rafael?
Yeah, I think Drummond's going to be in for a big night tonight, even if he comes off the bench. Also, Keontae George is out too.
That just happened.
You're looking at three starters being down. We've seen Talen Horton-Tucker come back into the rotation, but I don't think he's someone to add at all. I think if anything, you may add like a Bryce Sensabaugh to your watch list if you're preparing for your fantasy playoffs. Just because he's someone who could potentially emerge during silly season, because he's another one of their first-round picks, along with George and Hendricks. I'm sure they're going to want to see what he can bring to the table. A versatile forward. No fantasy value right now, but I think he's someone to kind of watch and see what he can do if he gets extended minutes these next few games.
Yeah, Bryce Sensabaugh was a standout freshman at Ohio State last year. I absolutely loved him. Thought he had a three-level scoring ability there. So I think he's going to be a pretty good player. Dan, what's your opinions? Are you you starring or favoring Bryce Sensabaugh as well?
I'd probably be looking more towards Chris Dunn, just because I know what he can do. You don't have a point guard in there. Like, I feel like he's going to get the steals. He's going to get the assists. He's going to probably get some rebounds. Won't do much for scoring. But, like, he's shown that he can be a viable fantasy option when given the opportunity. But I also would just temper expectations because, you know, George, it's not like he has a serious injury here. You know, he's just out with an illness. And Utah doesn't play again until Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just don't know. You're not going to get much out of this. This could be just a one-day streamer. So maybe this is more of a DFS play than, like, an actual add in redraft leagues. I'd wait on Taylor Hendricks, see what the prognosis is of that toe injury. I think he probably has the biggest upside of all the players that I'd be stashing on Utah. But yeah, we haven't really heard much on that. So hopefully it's just a day-to-day thing. But if not, then I would say, then Sensabaugh probably makes sense to have on your watch list just in case.
Yeah, I think he might serve it. I'm still – you said Chris Nunn or Chris Dunn?
Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn,
right. Yeah, well, they both – should not be streaming options in 2024, Dan. But it's all
yo, right. him and Dennis Smith Jr., they just have this like, yeah. I don't know, they just do their little rebounds and assist thing with steals. Like they always mm-hmm. want to give you at least like 10 rebounds assists with like a steal or two. Somehow, some way they figure it out.
That's all you need sometimes is 8 or 9 category leagues. But yeah, we talked a lot about Ohio State. And if you guys didn't know, the madness has begun in March. We are in conference tournament season, and Peacock is your exclusive home for Big Ten hoops. Today, you can start streaming the TIA Big Ten Women's Tournament. And on Wednesday, the 13th, it's the men's turn to get the action started. That is all in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm super excited. We were talking about it beforehand. Caitlin Clark and Iowa are going to take on Ohio State Buckeyes women's team. That's going to be the final, guys. And I'm going Purdue and Illinois for the men.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's talk about Steve Clifford's comments after the loss to Orlando Magic. They're going to be going small the rest of the way. What does that mean, Raphael, for those looking at pickups for now or maybe in dynasty leagues?
I think if you're in dynasty leagues, you're concerned about Mark Williams. Like we haven't heard much in terms of specifics with his back injury. I don't see the point in bringing him back onto the floor at any point this season because they're done. I think LaMelo Ball, you kind of wonder if he's also done for the year. With Williams, I think you're in the same spot in terms of who to pick up. Like if you think about Nick Richards, I think his fantasy value is kind of capped at this point. Like he's a little over 40% rostered. I think that's about where he should be. If anything, you're looking at the guards like Trey Mann, Vasily J. Micic. Those two, they're both starting, playing good minutes, and they both played well against Orlando while Miles Bridges didn't offer them anything. Orlando just shut that man down. That was pretty crazy to watch. But, yeah, I think Mann and Micic are the two. If they're going to be accessible in a lot of these fantasy leagues, those are probably the two I would look to add, if anything, right now.
Yeah, going small against Orlando Magic's not really a wise choice. They got a lot of trees down low. I like the look of Trey Mann. We talked about him a few times the last month or so. And, Dan, are you still like Trey Mann in the situation in Charlotte?
If the matchup makes sense, like I think Orlando was a great matchup because they allow a lot of points to point guards, and no surprise Trey Mann had a good game. But like I think that the trend is actually going more towards Micic. He's more efficient. So I think that if you don't see Trey Mann out there, definitely give a look to Micic as Raph suggested. I still like Grant Williams. Like I don't know why he still refuses to be people don't want to pick him up because he's Grant Williams or something, but like he's still 150% rostered, yo. Like, you got to pick him up. Like, he's doing things. Miles Bridges got shut down last game, and Brandon Miller's also still there. But, like, he's playing center for them. Like, he's more effective at center right now than Nick Richards is. So I prioritize him over Nick Richards. In terms of the Charlotte Hornets, though, if your playoffs start in week 21, the Hornets aren't a really good team to target. So get your – I mean, trades deadline is Thursday. So if you have time, I would probably start looking to trade those Hornets because they're not going to help you with only two games in week 21. So that's just looking ahead stuff. But, yeah, I think in the short term, Micic, Trey Mann, Grant Williams, all have value right now.
Well, I'm with the public on this one, Dan. I mean, Grant Williams and Dylan Brooks, two guys that I'm not putting on my fantasy team or 2K team. I'm just not doing
Grayson
it.
Grayson Allen, you can add him to the list. No one wants to pick him up either.
I mean, 2K, I'll let it slide. But, yeah, all that tricky stuff in college and early in his career is weird. Anyways, Rafael, let's talk about last week. I think it was last, maybe 2 weeks ago, we saw Chet and Wemby, and it was awesome, right? Now we got to see Sengun and Wemby on Tuesday, and that was a great matchup as well. And Sengun is a guy that we talked about should be going pretty high in drafts entering the season. Where are you putting him next year, ADP-wise?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I think he's kind of top 50 player right now. He would not last a pick 50. I think I would take him fourth round, maybe even end of the third, just because it feels like maybe it's just Ime Udoka, maybe it's the whole franchise coming together and realizing that they needed to run more of their offense through Sengun. Those first 2 years, through no fault of his own, it just didn't happen. And we saw what happened when they gave the keys to Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. It was an absolute disaster, which is why people got fired. So I think, you know, in terms of Sengun, he's been outstanding. Like, his numbers in the three matchups with Wembanyama are just absolutely ridiculous. His ability to kind of body, get physical with him and then make plays for other people off of those sets, incredible. So I think third, maybe fourth round for Sengun for me personally. He's someone I'm willing to roll the dice on in fantasy.
Yeah, you mentioned his numbers against Wemby this year, 28.3 points, 13 rebounds, almost 5 assists, and 4 combined steals and blocks per game. It's nothing to not note. So, Dan, where would you put him next year? And next question that I would like Raphael to hop back in on, are you taking Sengun before Chet or how far after Chet Holmgren?
I agree with Raph. I think it's like late third, fourth round. I think fourth round's probably where he'll settle in at. Because he's one of the best young bigs out there. So, like, I could see him starting to take over those Miles Turners and potentially Kristaps Porzingis. Like, I'd have him in that same conversation. Chet's going way before.
Yeah, you think Chet's like, a second rounder for sure next year?
I think you can make the argument that Chet's a first round. Really? Like, I think we're going to start to see that aging superstars of, like, the Kevin Durant's, start to get pushed to the outside. LaMelo Ball is another one. He's not aging, but, like, I think with the injury history, like, I don't see how you justify picking him as a number one pick next year. So yeah, it's going to be real interesting. I can't wait to start doing some mock drafting after this season's over, man, because it's about to be crazy. Like, I was talking to Kingy, friend of the pod, and Noah Rubin, shout to him. Yeah. It's going to be crazy because Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could literally be the second and third pick of your fantasy draft. And you got to be like, yeah, let me get that all day. Like, they could slide to fourth. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really exciting time next year, man. Fantasy basketball is going to be really fun going forward.
Well, I love to hear that then. Yeah. I have so much high expectations for Sengun, to be honest with you guys. I loved him entering the draft, and I feel like he's going to be one of the best big men for the next 5 or 10 years in the league. All right, we'll give him one more year to see if he can catch Chet in the ADP position. But we'll pivot to a player who has nothing in common with any of the guys we just named, Colin Sexton. He's actually been fantastic, though, Raphael. 26-9 cat over the past 3 weeks per Basketball Monster. What are you going to believe in him? Are you going to believe in him, I should say, in 2024 or 25?
I think so. He's one of those players who can kind of irk you with some of the on-court antics, but he's been really productive this year. It's his second year removed from the knee injury that he suffered, I want to say, during his last season in Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. So that second year removed is where you kind of see guys come back from knee injuries and get back to what they were beforehand. In terms of where I would draft him, I don't think I would go as high as people did before his first games in Utah, where you saw him going off boards in like sixth round, stuff like that. I wouldn't go that high, but I think eighth, maybe a ninth round pick, or late seventh. I think he's got a pretty wide range there, as do a lot of guys who kind of forecast in that part of drafts. So I think 80 to 100, 80 to 90 in terms of a pick is where I'd probably go with him next year.
Dan, how about you? He seems like he's cracking top 100 for you too.
Yeah, he's definitely cracking top 100. And be honest with you, I was actually like excited for him this year. And then I feel like he kind of got off to a slow start. But I mean, the efficiency that he's been showing this year is crazy. You know, shooting 50% from the field, free throws are like near 80%, knocking down the threes. Like he's the young bull for a reason. And like, I feel like now he's finally starting to come into it a little bit more after those injuries, as Raf stated. Yeah, I don't know where I want to draft him though. Like I was trying to look up his contract situation. I feel like is he not due for an extension or like something?
I don't believe so, because they signed him to one to make that Mitchell trade happen. I think it was like 4 years, 75 or something like that.
Right. Did he get that contract as a member of the Cavaliers? Like Cavaliers gave him that deal, right? It was like a 4-year deal.
Well, no, they kind of had to do it to make the trade happen. So I think he agreed to it and as part of being traded, because I don't believe that. Let's see here. Yeah.
Yep, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So he's not a free agent until 2026. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So his contract is pretty much locked in at this point.
So that makes me feel better about him. I'd actually probably be more aggressive then. Just given his status with the franchise.
Mm-hmm. He's looking pretty good next to Keyonte George too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Yeah, I like that duo moving forward. I feel like there's a lot of explosion, the offensive firepower there. Both guys got to get you 20, 30 points. And fun fact, I got to see one of Colin Sexton's last games. It would have been his last game, but he won. He beat Trae Young's Oklahoma Sooners when Colin Sexton was out of Alabama. I got to see that from the sidelines. One of the coolest college games I've ever watched. And just so you guys know, Trae Young got locked up by Colin Sexton. 6 of 17 from the field is what he went. I remember that. But just as a reminder, if you don't remember random stats from back in the day, you just a reminder, you can find all your favorite NBC sports shows on Amazon Music. You guys just head over to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Last 5 to 10 minutes of the show, fellas, as always, we got the week 19 schedule. Who's got the back-to-backs? Who's got 3 games this week? And who, Dan, can help us win our fantasy league? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I think Chicago's in a really good position, not only for the remainder of the week, but also for the look at the week ahead. They play 6 games over the next 9 days. So, you know, someone like Alex Caruso, if he's there for shallow leagues, I think he's around like 58% rostered. I'd pick him up. Andre Drummond, we already talked about how good he's going to be the rest of the season just because of all the injuries in the front court. So I think he's going to be continuing to eat. I would trade for Ayo Dosunmu. Like, I think that that's a person that won't cost a lot that can still help your team, especially in this silly season era. The Portland Trailblazers, another team that plays 6 games over the next 9 days. I feel like you could give a look now with Scoot Henderson and Malcolm Brogdon both out if you're in a deep league. Delano Banton. I think Chris Murray is someone that's going to emerge as time progresses. And as Raf stated, his boy, Duop Reef, man, it's time. Like, he's here, so pick him up. He's still under 20% rostered. Jabari Walker is another guy that's coming off of a down game scoring, but he can still rebound. So I'd expect him to be better as the week progresses. The Warriors are another team. If Brandon Pajemski is out there, I would scoop him up. If Andrew Wiggins isn't back and right, and then the Sacramento Kings, I picked up Kevin Huerter in a couple spots. I think he'll help you at least with threes and scoring, with the Kings having a pretty favorable schedule to close out the week.
I absolutely love that. Sounds like the Portland Trailblazers are going to be arguably the most important fantasy team over the next 9 or 10 days then with all those games. Rafael, what is your interest and concerns?
I think we kind of mentioned a few of those guys. Like, you know, we mentioned Dean Wade at the start of the show. Cleveland's got 3 games to end this week. Obviously, Strus and Mitchell being down. Mobley as well. He's a good pickup there. I think Sam Merrill kind of disappointed on Tuesday, but he's someone you need points and threes. I don't think there are a lot of guys who are better than him at that. We saw him hit 7 against the Knicks on Sunday. I think the biggest issue for them might be the schedule. They, you know, you got at Atlanta. That's one where he could potentially go off. Then you got Minnesota on Friday. I think they're still leading the league in defensive rating, so that's going to be a tough matchup there. But Sunday – let's see here. Yeah, Sunday against the Nets. Another team, they look like they're trying to compete for a playing spot. I just don't know if they're good enough to do it. We'll see what happens with them. But, yeah, I think Cleveland, that's a team to look at for the remainder of this week in terms of games played. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I was going to say, double back on my one comment earlier, too. Not only is Portland important because they have a lot of guys you could pick up, but they're also so bad that you could pick up players on the other teams and get some value on them.
Yeah.
Dan, anybody else that you would like to add?
Yeah, I'll still throw out the Brooklyn Nets. Like, they already played two games, but they got three games left in the opponents. My
Lonnie God, Walker
Detroit, time. Detroit, Charlotte, and then they got Cleveland. But Cleveland, with them being down, man, like, Dorian Finney-Smith, Lonnie Walker, Dayron Sharp is hurt, so you can't play him. But, like, I saw people dropping Dorian Finney-Smith in 12 teams, thinking, like, I don't know, they don't want him for whatever reason. But, yeah, scoop him up if he's available, man. See if there's any other teams I like. I thought those are the main ones.
The schedule for the Nets is pretty, man. That's they're 1.5 games back of the Hawks right now for the play-in spot, and you're talking about two of the worst teams in the league and then a beat-up Cavs team. I'm curious who's going to actually win out
that race, right? Like, I actually thought that the Nets were going to be dead in the water, but then when Trae Young got hurt, it was like, oh, snap, maybe the Hawks actually might flounder here. I don't know. I feel like the Hawks are going to pull it out, but who knows?
Yeah, I feel like the Western Conference is more set in stone with the 10 teams we're getting. I don't think the Jazz or the Rockets are going to sneak into the play-in position there. It's who's going to sneak into the top six and who's going to get left in the play-in elimination games. But for the Eastern Conference, it looked like Toronto was certainly going to put their name in the hat for the 10 seed. But now it looks like a sole race between 9, 10, and 11 between the Bulls, Hawks, and Nets. Rafael, anything to add before we get out of here? Any bold predictions, hot takes, freezing cold takes?
No, I would just add that daylight saving time begins Sunday morning. So before you go to sleep on Saturday, change your clocks if you need to do that.
It's way too mature for the show.
We laugh about it, but the last thing you want is to wake up and games have already started.
Because you
didn't know about you forgot about the time change. So
Just
make sure you get your son.
Life advice. Life advice. This isn't just fancy basketball. This is life advice.
And I'm looking at it now, but I got 11 a.m. college basketball on the East Coast.
See? I get those bets in too.
I don't plan on getting crazy on Saturday, but I definitely got to wake up a little earlier than I expected on Sunday. Yeah. So thanks, Rafael. Dan, anything any good advice? Life advice?
Good advice, life advice, nah, but I'm curious what your guys' take. Who's going to end up being the fourth seed in the East? Is it going to be the Magic, the Knicks, or the Sixers?
Definitely not the Sixers.
What about the Pacers? I don't think the Pacers
and the
are
Pacers,
big,
yeah,
they're two
yeah,
out they're, in the loss column. And
The Pacers got a big win over the Mavericks last night. I didn't expect that one to happen in the third quarter like that.
So, throwing the Pacers in there too.
Yeah, I would say I'm going to go with the New York Knicks, man. I think the Orlando Magic somehow squander the four seed and get the five. The Knicks have that, so they play.
I think the Knicks will get it. Just because one's healthy. If they get Brunson back, I think that would be the difference. I think either the Knicks or Pacers, for me, just because of the point guard play between Brunson and Halliburton. Orlando, that's like their one deficiency right now, the point guard spot. So, I think Orlando top six, even 7 or 8, I think that's going to represent a good season for them. But I think either the Knicks or Pacers will be that four seed.
Yeah, agreed. I got the Knicks. I feel like I don't think Brunson's going to be a long-term thing. So they get him back, they're going to get right. And they're going to be a scary team. If they can get their pieces back in the playoffs, man, Knicks could be disruptors.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to see what the New York Knicks will do in the postseason this year. It's definitely going to be a thrilling race if they're healthy, Rafael. And that's going to be my team to root for.
It's a big if.
Yeah, very true. But as long as you guys got Taj Gibson close to my heart, man.
He's gone.
They caught him.
The Pistons have signed him. Yeah, like, what are you people doing? But fantasy advice. Simone Fontecchio up in Detroit. I think he's someone to look at in deep leagues. Quentin Grimes still dealing with that knee issue. They need spacing, as we spoke about last week. So Fontecchio, if he's available, that's a bandwagon I would hop on these next few weeks here.
All right. I love that. Yeah, Fontecchio's my guy we talked about. We liked him getting dealt here. So no life advice from me because I didn't think of anything clever. But as you guys know, you guys can follow Rafael Johnson at NBC Sports and Dan Titus at Yahoo Sports. Make sure you guys get all of their fantasy information, especially since the trade deadline is approaching. So best of luck, whatever you guys do, and we'll see you next week.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.